But it's nice as we've been going through the book of Romans. And, there are those, and I know that Pastor Beimer today talked about a little bit about replacement theology. And really, what a problem that is. Because many think that they have replaced the Jews. And there's also, as a response, many messianics who won't even let the Gentiles come in. And so, you know, and my heart is really heartened because, first of all, the scripture says, let there be no division amongst you. And really, what is the important thing here? It's not if you're a Jew. It's not if you're a Gentile. It's, is your name inscribed in the book of life? And what are you doing to ensure that others' names are inscribed in the book of life as well? And, with that, you know, that's really what this passage in Romans chapter 11, the first 12 verses talks about. That's okay, Bart. Thank you. God has not rejected his people, has he? Of course not. Of course not. So with this, you know, kind of a preview here, we see here really this is the conclusion of Rabbi Shaul's or the Apostle Paul, whichever, you know, if you want to say Shaul, that's his Jewish name. If you want to say Paul, that's his Greek name. But we see the conclusion of his argument here about how God is going to fulfill his promises to Israel. And that's what this is talking about. And of course, replacement theology and those who perpetuate that wrongly claim the contrary. But you know what? Jewish disobedience does not annul God's promises to Israel. Because God's free gifts and his calling are irrevocable. Think about that. God's promises are irrevocable. His salvation is irrevocable. Once he says, I give it to you, and you take it, it is yours. And I know that there's some out there who teach that you can lose your salvation. And you know what? God's word says no. Once your name's inscribed, you know, God doesn't have a bunch of angels with erasers and pens going, oh, well, you know, that Rabbi Woodcock, he blew it again, erase. Oh, good, he asked forgiveness, we can write his name back in. No, it doesn't work that way. Because once you're a believer, once you're a child, you are adopted. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. But yet, here's this group that says, hey, you know what? You know, these free gifts and these callings, they are, you know, they are something that can be taken away. And no, they're not. Salvation cannot be taken away. God's word cannot be taken away. His word will not return void. And guess what? Those who think that that's going to happen, no, it's not. And those who are teaching that are not teaching the fullness of the word of God. And it's like what Pastor Dave shared from us this morning about Deuteronomy 4:1. You shall not add to the word which I'm commanding you, nor shall you take away from it. And when people say, well, you know what? They call it the Old Testament because it's old. And we've got the New Testament. We're a New Testament. Well, guess what? I'm a full Testament person. Because when the Apostle Paul wrote that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. The New Testament had not even been canonized yet. He was talking about the Torah. He was talking about the Nevi'im. He was talking about the Ketuvim, the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament. That hasn't been replaced. That's inspired by God. And we're not supposed to add to the Word nor take away. And that's a huge problem because many of these replacement theology places, they teach, you know, what happens when a Jew comes to faith in the Messiah? Well, they give up that Sabbath stuff. They come have a bacon and cheeseburger sandwich. And they come to church on Sunday and they forget the Sabbath. No. And that, sadly, many Jews are turned off to the gospel because they think they have to give up keeping Torah. Because people are misguided and misdirected with their replacement theology. God's plan of salvation has always been by grace. It is currently by grace, and it always will be by grace that a person is saved. And it has nothing to do with if they're Jewish, if they're Gentile, the type of sin, or any of that. It has everything to do with them falling on their face and saying, Lord, come into my heart. I confess with my mouth that Yeshua Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I surrender my life because you're knocking on my heart's door. Yeah. But sadly, part of our problem is we kind of start to look around and say, hey, well, you know what? All these people are falling away. They're not even teaching that message alone. Am I the only one left? Elijah had that same struggle, right? Am I the only one left? And we kind of look around this room and we see all these empty chairs. It's just like, oh, are we the only one left? Is this the remnant? Oy vey. You know? But what does he say? Hey, there's 7,000 like you who have not prostrated themselves to Baal. Now, many tried to say that Baal is the name of a god. It's not. Baal just means master or husband. And if you think about that, when you understand Jewish scripture and understand how the Ten Commandments are laid out, the second commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. And the seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery. They're related to each other. Because we commit adultery against God when we worship other idols. And I think it was the book of Hosea that talks about that, if my brain is engaged correctly this morning. And with that, the Baals, the masters, who are we married to? Because we take away from the Word of God if we're not married to the Word of God. And who's the Word? Yeshua Jesus, right? He's the Word. Like Pastor Dave said this morning, it's not the words printed on this scroll here. It's not the words printed in our scriptures that we carry around with us. This Word is a living, breathing document. Right? And we're to be married to that. And we are not alone. Because guess what? We've received the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. And you know, it's interesting. There's this one verse that says, you know, speaking of grace, it talks about grace would no longer be grace if the Jews weren't allowed into the kingdom of God anymore. Right? Think about it. What does it mean? It means that Israel failed to obtain what it was striving for, but those who were chosen obtained it. The Jewish perspective on this verse, it's talking about the remnant. The remnant numbers those who exhibit Abraham's qualities through being faithful to God. When we are faithful to God, and remember, faithful to God means not taking from His Word in our lives and how we behave and how we act. That God's grace proves that He will never abandon His people. God's grace proves that nobody else can take away His grace from us and from them, right? And if all it took for God's salvation is to be Jewish, faith would be null and void. And now, for us, especially those who are Jewish by blood, for those of us who would renounce our Jewishness, this replacement theology is teaching that we need to renounce that, and that's how we get saved. Uh-uh. God's Word says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon Yeshua will be saved. And of course, we see through history that it was prophesied that, you know, for those of us who are Jews, our brothers and sisters, their hearts were hardened, right? Their hearts were hardened. And, you know, the Apostle Paul continues and it says, to this day, God has given them a spirit of deep sleep. Their eyes do not see, and their ears do not hear. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a punishment for them. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and keep their backs bent forever. And so I ask, they have not stumbled so as to fall, have they? Of course not. On the contrary, because of their stumbling, salvation has come to Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. Now, if their stumbling means riches for the world, and if their fall means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? For those of you who know my wife, you know, she was raised in the church, and she's always had a fascination with things Jewish, which, you know, God was preparing her even then to marry a rabbi, Baruch Hashem. But she was very disappointed when she asked her mom, as a middle schooler, "Mom, what happens when a Jew gets saved?" And her mom says, "Nothing, they just come to church like everybody else." And my wife was so disappointed in that answer because she thought something spectacular should happen. Well, the scripture says that it should, right? It should. See, if Israel's transgression just brought goodness, which is Yeshua's righteousness, to the world, how much more will their fulfillment of God's will mean for all mankind? Think about that. And, you know, and we see this quote here from Isaiah 69, and really, Psalm 69, and it starts off with the messianic prophecy that says, "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it be a trap. May their eyes grow dim so they cannot see, and may their loins shake continuously." So what we see here is and there's some Jewish perspective that's going on here. You know, there's a story from Rabbi Shimon that says that if three sit down to eat and they don't talk about the Torah, then it means that their table is filled with vomit and feces. Even though the table might be completely kosher. And wow, if Jews talk about the Torah without Yeshua, then the Torah becomes a snare, a trap, and a pitfall, and all their conversation ruins the altar of fellowship known as the dining room table. Think about that. Because doesn't God want to, when He knocks on our heart's door, does He want to come in and have fellowship with us? But if we refuse that, then we're just eating upon things that are kind of gross and disgusting. Right? And then the Apostle Paul continues. He talks about backs bent, which means slavery. That's symbolic of slavery there. And in this case, slavery to sin is the issue. We can talk about the Word of God. We can be religious, but guess what? If we're slaves to sin, our backs are going to be, you know, we're going to have that burden. We're not going to be effective ministers for the kingdom of God. Rabbi Azariah writes this. He says, "This matter can be compared to the case of a king who planted an orchard with figs, vines, pomegranates, and apples." So this king planted something beautiful. Did not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords plant something beautiful when he gave the Torah to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai? Yeah, he did. But what happened? The king left, right? And this rabbi says, "The king entrusted a tenant to tend the plants and went away. And when the king returned to look at the yield, he found it full of thorns and briars. So he brought in some woodcutters to raise it. As he looked closely at the thorns, he noticed a flower, and when he smelled it, his spirits calmed down, and he stated, 'The whole orchard shall be saved because of this flower.' In a similar manner, the whole world was created for the sake of the Torah." And who is the Word? Who is the teaching? Who is the way, the truth, and the life? Yeshua, right? And so, in amongst the thorns, even in our own hearts and lives, in amongst the sin and the junk that's in our heart, when we ask Yeshua to come in, He gets that stuff away and makes something beautiful within us, right? And I love that lyric that we sing, "Take this wounded heart." Because when we've given our heart to the Baals, and then God takes it back, isn't there some scarring that's there? But guess what? God can heal that heart, that wounded heart. We say, "Hey, you know what? Yeah, we're flawed. We're all flawed. But guess what? There's something beautiful that's now inside. His name is Yeshua Jesus. And we're going to march forward. We are going to march forward and do something beautiful in this world for the kingdom of God." Yeah. And you know what? And even though the hearts of many Jews have turned to stone, their downfall is what has brought life to the Gentiles. You're like, how can you say that, Rabbi? Well, I think of that passage in Genesis 50 where it says, I think it's verse 20 if I remember correctly, what was intended for evil, God has used for good to save many people alive. It's all for the glory of God. That's the theme of Scripture, right? That's the theme of the history of mankind from when God said, let there be, till, you know, eternity future, when it's all over, right? We got the new heaven and the new earth. It's all going to be for the glory of God. And so with that, even though sadly many of my Jewish brethren have hearts of stone, what happens if we have a passion to reach Jews with the good news? And of course, some people say, well, you're just all about ministering to Jews, right? No, I'm about ministering to anybody. I don't care where you come from. I just care where you're going to. I just want to make sure your name's in the book of life and that you are fully trained as a disciple in the Lord. You are completely delivered from the things that are holding you back. Your wounded heart is healed and you go forth and help people get their hearts cleaned up, right? Yeah. And so with that, we see that even though these Jews had hearts of stone, it brought life to the hearts of the Gentiles. God says, hey, you're going to make them jealous. All right, Gentiles, make us jealous. So if that fact brings riches to the nations, how much more would riches to the nations come if Jews came to the Lord? And the Apostle Paul said, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the good news unto salvation. For it came to what? The Jew first. And the Gentile second. Now, does it mean, oh, well, you know what, if I'm a Gentile, I'm a second class citizen? That is not what the Scripture teaches. In fact, the Scripture teaches that those who are not Jewish by blood, who accept Yeshua as their Messiah and surrender their life to them, they become children of Abraham by faith. And guess what? They have all the same rights and privileges as those of us who are Jews who believe in the Messiah. There's no difference there, right? God's love is equal. But there is a promise that when we minister to Jews and know how to minister to Jews, that this world's going to become a better place. So how should we respond to this? Well, first of all, let's start with a little selfish motivation. If the Jewish spiritual failure has brought riches to Gentiles, but Jewish spiritual success will bring them even greater riches, it pays to spiritually win the Jews, right? So let's show our brothers and sisters in the Lord who have gone down the path of replacement theology and say, hey, look, do you want to be blessed? Yeah, God promises a blessing. It's not about replacement theology. It's about sharing the gospel to all creation, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. Yeah. So what does that mean? That means that when we get into conversation with the Jew, that we don't put up all our little ads and our little takeaways to the Scripture. We tell them the good news of the Messiah. Right? Well, what happens if things get complicated? Just keep on going back to the Word. Right? I like what we're teaching in class. And then you ask, what does this say? Right? Very Jewish. What does this say? But with that, we know that by His stripes we can all be healed. Amen? Amen. And so this comes to our challenge. I just want to ask you this. How many of you want spiritual success and riches? Yeah. I'm going to put my hand up. Carol's like, I'll wave around. Yeah. Let's raise our hands. You guys want spiritual success and witness? Yeah, everyone's getting excited here. Amen. Commit today to learn how to spiritually win the Jews. Commit today how to do that. And then you will see God's blessings in your life. God's blessings in the ministry that He has called you to. God's blessings to your family, right? And I want you to just think right now, do you have any walls that are up? that might be keeping you from experiencing all the blessings of God? Maybe some fears, maybe some anxieties. We all do it, right? Some people are shaking their head going, yeah, got some walls. Well, let's just take a moment right now. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes.